The translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. O Father, O Lord, O Personality of Godhead, the living entities in the material world can never have any happiness because they are overwhelmed by the three kinds of miseries. Therefore, they take shelter at the shade of your lotus feet, which are full of knowledge, and we also thus take shelter of them. Purport. The way of devotional service is neither sentimental nor mundane. It is the path of reality by which the living entity can attain the transcendental happiness of being freed from the three kinds of material miseries. Miseries arising from the body and mind, from other living entities, and from natural disturbances. Everyone who is conditioned by material existence, whether he be a man or beast or demigod or bird, must suffer from adhyatmika, bodily or mental pains, adhibhautika pains, those offered by living creatures, and adhidevika pains, those due to supernatural disturbances. His happiness is nothing but a hard struggle to get free from the miseries of conditional life. But there is only one way he can be rescued, and that is by accepting the shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The argument that unless one has proper knowledge, one cannot be freed from material miseries is undoubtedly true. But because the lotus feet of the Lord are full of transcendental knowledge, acceptance of his lotus feet completes that necessity. We have already discussed this point in the first canto, chapter 1, text, first canto, chapter 2, text 7. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janatyashu Vairagyam Jnanam Cha Yad Ahaitukam. There is no want of knowledge in the devotional service of Vasudev, the Personality of Godhead. He, the Lord, personally takes charge of dissipating the darkness of ignorance from the heart of a devotee. He confirms this in Bhagavad Gita 10.10. Tesham satatyuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam. Empiric philosophical speculation cannot give one relief from the threefold miseries of material existence. Simply to endeavour for knowledge without devoting oneself to the Lord is a waste of valuable time. So let's chant the Mangalacharan prayers together in full enthusiasm and beg the Lord and his associates and followers for their blessings, by which we can enter into this transcendental purport and churn something for our benefit. Om Jnanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi pranamami hari priye vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Humbly seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas assembled here in this room and those online so that we may be able to speak something that is beneficial, something that is pleasing to the Vaishnavas, and something that is ultimately in line with Srila Prabhupada's teachings and desires for his movement. I was recently listening to a class by His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami, and he was saying that when we give class in the morning, the audience want to know how can they go back to Godhead, and what is palatable for them are those instructions on how to go back to Godhead. So hopefully this morning we can serve that same vision. We leave this, all of us together, we leave this temple room and we, on our way to Prashad, we think, okay, yeah, got a better idea now, a little bit more conviction. How can I go back home, back to Godhead? Prabhupada said that every syllable, every word in this Srimad Bhagavatam is transcendental. Nothing is to be taken for granted. Nothing is, we see in this purport, neither sentimental nor mundane. Everything should be taken like the gospel, even more than the gospel. Everything should be taken like the Bhagavatam, because the Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. So every syllable is worshipable. So Sanatana Goswami says, every syllable rains pure love of God upon the reader. So every syllable is to be taken seriously. We hear Shruta Kirti Prabhu, who was Prabhupada's personal servant for many years, he would come into Prabhupada's room and find him reading his own books. Such a rarity, I think. You know, spiritual people aside, but in the mundane world, to find people reading their own books. I don't know if they'll probably get bored of them. But Krishna is ever fresh, nava nava yovanam. There's always something to be learnt. Prabhupada said that I didn't write these books. Krishna wrote these books. Krishna dictated to me. So Shruta Kirti Prabhu would come in and he'd find Prabhupada reading his books. Prabhupada would say, if you just read this one book, you'll become Krishna conscious. And then another occasion, Shruta Kirti Prabhu found him again reading his own books. If you just read this one chapter, you'll become Krishna conscious. If you just read this one verse, you'll become Krishna conscious. If you just read this one syllable, one word, you'll become Krishna conscious. And sometimes we take the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada's words, for granted. But just as every word of the Bhagavatam is worshipable, every word of Bhagavat is worshipable, which means every word of person Bhagavat is also worshipable. So we can take very seriously that if we genuinely, with all seriousness and sincerity, and in a mood of worship and reverence, approach the Bhagavatam, then even every syllable can give us pure love of God and can make us pure, make us Krishna conscious. So I really appreciated this first sentence. The way of devotional service is neither sentimental nor mundane. Sometimes we join the movement and then after some time, it's like, I've been around for a little bit. Yeah, I've been to morning program. It's the same mantra, the same books. When a new one's coming out, we get it. A part of us is a bit like, I've had enough of this. And we take it as sentiment. We take it as mundane. We take it as just another part of our life. If we're not careful, it can become like that. If something is sentimental, we attach our emotions to it. And if it feels good in that moment, we'll accept it. But if it's not so palatable, we may find something else to do. In the beginning, we join, there's so much enthusiasm. And then now Krishna wants us to work a little bit harder in that relationship. He wants us to put some effort from our side. And it's at that stage where we think, okay, well, I don't want to do this thing in Krishna consciousness, but this thing is nice. This feels good. And so it becomes a matter of sentiment, and we don't embrace the philosophy, and it can become just a Sunday afternoon thing. But Krishna consciousness is so much more than that. Prabhupada, when he was preaching, he would say, fine, you can look at me and you can say, yes, I'm an Indian man, and my family, they were devotees. So because of the cultural background, because of some superstition, okay, maybe I've accepted this. But what about all these European men? What about all these European and American boys and girls? They weren't brought up in this culture. Quite the contrary. They were behaving in ways that are in complete opposition to Vedic culture, in complete opposition to the vision and mission of Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement. But by this process, they've been able to become transformed. Prabhupada said he turned hippies into happies. What the UN failed to do, what the police failed to do, Prabhupada did by delivering this transcendental Krishna conscious process. Where is there peace in this world? Genuine peace only in Prabhupada's movement. Where is there transformation of the heart in this world? Only in Prabhupada's movement. So Prabhupada was saying that you can look at me and think that it's some sentiment, but these European boys and girls, they're my miracle. They're the proof that this process is not sentimental. This is the real deal. This is the panacea for this age. This is the medicine. This is what's going to solve all of our problems. And so it's not sentimental. And neither is it mundane. Golokera premadhana harinam sankirtana. Narottam Das Thakur says that this was imported from the spiritual world. What more can be said? This is completely transcendental. If we simply follow the process as Srila Prabhupada taught it, then we can't go wrong. Srila Prabhupada told Dinabandhu Prabhu, if you chant 16 rounds and follow the four regulative principles, I guarantee it, I guarantee it, I guarantee it, you'll go back to Godhead. And the saints in our movement, the devotees around us, they're living proof of the transformative power of Srila Prabhupada's words, the transformative power of this Sankirtan movement. It's not something sentimental, and it's not something mundane. This is the real deal. But what happens is we spend some time in the movement, and then after a while, we start to think, this is just a little part of my life. And we lose that enthusiasm. But like I was saying, it requires some work. I was in Oxford on Sankirtan in the marathon in 2023. And I stopped this person who used to be a preacher for the Mormons. And he used to do exactly what we were doing, distributing books. And normally in the marathon, you don't really spend a lot of time speaking to people if you know that they're not interested. But somehow I broke that rule and I just started talking to him a little bit more. And he shared something very valuable with me. And it made me think that, yes, I'm glad that I stopped and heard him out. He showed me a photo, a painting, that depicts something from the Bible. So we've got Jesus Christ, and he's knocking at someone's door. And on the other side of the door is a devotee or a follower. And he asked me to observe the painting and tell him, what's unique about this painting? What do you notice? And I looked and I couldn't figure it out. And he goes, where's the doorknob? And I said, oh, it's on the other side of the door. It's on the side of the devotee, on the side of the follower. And I was like, oh, right, I see what you're saying. He goes, yes, Jesus Christ is on this person's doorstep, but it's only from the inside that the door can be opened. Jesus Christ can come on this person's doorstep, but the person from the inside has to respond to his knocking and open the door. Similarly, Krishna has come into our life. Srila Prabhupada has carried him into this world in the form of this movement. and the devotees have carried him into our heart, and he's very much present here at the manor. And in the beginning, we receive so much mercy. But there comes a point in the relationship where it's like, well, hold on a second. There's two of us. What are you going to do? So Krishna's knocking. Jeev jago, jeev jago, Gaura Chandra bole. How long are you going to sleep in the lap of the witch called Maya? We have to make some effort. We have to respond to his call. I feel like now more than ever, in Kali Yuga, with Lord Chaitanya's vessels and vessels and vessels of mercy, with Prabhupada's added mercy, which is expanding as we speak, it's just increasing. Anandam buddhi vardhanam, it's just going more and more and more. It's so easy, but we must make a little bit of effort. And that's why I think that sometimes we almost get spoiled in the beginning, all that prasad, all that mercy, all that nice treatment. But there comes a point where we have to like make an effort from our side too. And the effort we make is nothing compared to what Krishna is doing. Nothing. This really beautiful line in this purport. Don't even have to be an academic. I mean, what is your... There's no prerequisite qualification, only a little bit of desire. And if you just take that desire and deliver it to the devotees, the devotees will fan that spark of desire and make it into a fire. And then Krishna will do the rest. You just have to have that desire and place yourselves in situations where that faith can grow. Because Krishna is backing you all the way. Check this out. The Lord personally takes charge of dissipating the darkness of ignorance from the heart of a devotee. The Lord is so kind that he enters into our heart, not only in this human form of life, but in all 8,400,000 species of life. He's not letting you go. He's so kind that he comes with us life after life after life. Who else is going to do that? Not your mum, not your dad, not your sister or your brother, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your partner, your husband, your wife. Give them all respect, but it's only the Lord that's going to come in your next life. That's quite mad, isn't it? How even if you take the form of a dog or a hog or an ant or a centipede, or one of those like creepy crawlies you find in the shower that annoy you in the morning, Krishna will be there with you. He's not concerned about the external appearance. He's just thinking, I really need to get my long lost son or daughter back home. Krishna is Atmaram. He's fully satisfied. But there's still one part of Krishna that's crying. And that's why he keeps sending all this help to rescue us. That's a beautiful word that Prabhupada used in this purport. But there is only one way he can be rescued. That's mad. Krishna is coming and sending all reinforcements to rescue us. So we join this movement. We get lots of mercy, thanks to Srila Prabhupada and the kindness of his followers. And we love it. It's almost like an abhishek of mercy in the beginning, isn't it? It's super tasty, super palatable. It's just a party. It's, wow. It's a party. I mean, the devotees are so kind. Just recently, I've personally experienced a lot of kindness from the devotees. A lot of kindness. And I'm thinking, where else but in Srila Prabhupada's movement can you find such kindness, such willingness to help? Devotees who are willing to put aside all inconveniences to assist the people who've taken shelter of Prabhupada. And you think, oh, it must be me. But no way. Like, if it was you, then why is it not possible outside this movement? The devotees in this movement, they are Karunika, they are very merciful. Why is that? Why is that that they're so kind? Because their Lord is so kind. Their master is so kind. Who can be so kind? Who is there in this world that's as kind as Srila Prabhupada? As kind as Radha Gokulananda. Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda ki. Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki. Sri Sri Gornitai ki. Prabhupada explains in one purport in the CC that Lord Chaitanya, he is the epitome of kindness. So kind. And you can tell the qualities of one's Lord, one's master, by looking at the quality of the devotees. The devotees here, we can read it in the Gita. They are so kind, full of compassion, full of mercy. And so, in the beginning, and of course during our time here, but specifically in the beginning, we feel it the most, that kindness, that mercy. And there comes a point where we have to take more shelter of transcendental knowledge to fix ourselves in a position where that mercy and that kindness and that ease of Krishna consciousness is accessible. Because Krishna's like, okay, I've given you mercy. Now I want you to understand why this mercy is important. I want you to understand that actually you're in a very vulnerable position. You're in a position where you're going to be subjected to these three miseries. Miseries pertaining to the bodily and the mind, body and mind, the Atmika. Miseries offered, I love that, offered by living creatures, Adi Bhautika. And those due to supernatural disturbances, Adi Devika. Put your hand up if you think that by some material arrangement you can overcome these three miseries. It's difficult, right? I don't think it's possible. Sometimes we think the grass is always greener on the other side. Let me make some material arrangement. This girl, this guy, this job, this house, this city, this country. Nah, don't be silly. That's not how it works. The grass isn't greener where you water it. The grass is greener where the cows are. Because wherever there are cows, you can find Govinda, you can find Gopal. The grass is greener wherever there is Krishna. And wherever there is Krishna, oh, that's it. You're sorted. Wherever there is Krishna, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janatyashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chatad Ahaitukam. This is from Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 7. And maybe we can read the translation exactly. By rendering devotional service under the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. So whenever we're connected with Krishna, we receive knowledge that helps us understand how to get out of this entrapment of this material world. We receive a distaste for this material world. We receive the strength by which we can say no to this material world. And that is ultimately what we're looking for. That is a solution to all of our problems. We just add Krishna. I think it's in the 11th canto or the 12th canto. This is a beautiful verse. It is written that the pastimes of Krishna are like an intoxicating beverage. I thought apple juice was nice, but this is a whole other level. The pastimes of Krishna are like an intoxicating beverage. And by tasting these pastimes, you lose all taste. You develop a distaste for the mundane topics of this material world. Pibate Bhagavatam Rasam Alayam. We drink the nectar of the Bhagavatam, which is the abode of rasa. This is where the magic happens. Our mind may try to give us so many excuses. I think Keshava Maharaj writes about this in one of his books, about all the different excuses that the mind offers and the responses that the Gita gives in return. So the mind says, I don't have time. right now. The mind says, no, Krishna consciousness is important, but right now, in this moment, I don't have time. The mind says, Krishna consciousness is important. I've tasted some nectar. I've received some mercy. Krishna consciousness is important. But right now, I need to focus on my wedding. The mind says, Krishna consciousness is important. But right now, I need to get a new job. The mind says, no, Krishna consciousness is very important, but right now, my family members, they're ill, so let me tend to them. Of course, all these things are important, but all these things are never going to be the all in all. All these things are just a piece of the puzzle that is our Krishna consciousness. All these things are a piece of the puzzle that helps us survive and maintain ourselves in this world. But the whole purpose of every single action we take in this world is to fall back in love with Krishna and reestablish our lost relationship with him. So that's our check. Whenever we're about to engage in any decision, any activity, we think, is this helping me fall more deeply in love with Gokulananda? If it is, then carry on. If it's not, then you might have to reconsider that option. And if it's difficult to reconsider because there's some attachment, I think that's a problem that, at least for me anyway, if there's some attachment and you know the activity's not good for you, it's like, whoa, this is too much austerity. It speaks about tapa, miseries, but tapa, austerity, is that austerity in Krishna consciousness of battling the distaste, battling the taste that we have for material life with the conception that I should have distaste for material life. So when it all gets too much, when we're overwhelmed, and the translation here, when we're embarrassed by material life, then the solution is to take shelter of the devotees. And a little while back, I wrote this poem, and I remembered it this morning, and maybe it might be relevant to share now. Where is my spiritual strength? Where goes my sincerity? Bring back my enthusiasm. Determination evades me. All humility is missing. Taste isn't to be found. Inspiration's gone astray. My faith goes up and down. So let me run to the manor now. Hold on to every devotee. Mercy, mercy, I'll collect it all from every nook and cranny. So let me now run to Prabhupada and Guru who've purchased the Lord. I'll approach them with my sorry tale. Mercy, I'll beg for it all. So like this, we depend on the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, on the mercy of the spiritual master. And what is the epitome of the spiritual master's mercy? It's his instructions. So we depend on these things. The spiritual master's instructions are like shiromani, like a jewel which we should carry on our head. So whenever we feel like we're lacking in enthusiasm, lacking in determination, and we're caught in the middle, on one side we have our Hiranyakashipu mentality, on the other side we have our Prahlad mentality, and we're stuck in the middle. We know what we want to do, but we know where we are, and it's a constant battle. Well then, we run to this holy place where the devotees reside, where Srila Prabhupada is an inspiration to serve him lies, and we remember, what is it that my spiritual master told me? And then with these three things, the Vaishnavas, Guru, and Prabhupada, we can defend ourselves from the three attacks of the material energy. I'm conscious that time has run out. We're slowly running out. We want to leave some time for the illustrious devotees in this assembly to share their comments, and we can have some questions too. But just wanted to thank you all for giving me the opportunity to share something primarily for my own purification. Srila Prabhupada ki. Does anyone have any questions, comments? Rojan Prabhu?
Hare Krishna, thank you. All these things you said, actually, certainly I've encountered in my journey into Krishna consciousness, hardships, so many things have happened, and circumstance, you know, you're like this, I'm like that, oh, they're blaming me, all these things, you know, and your class was like an essence of my journey here. All these things I did in karmic life, I look back and I think, oh my God, I was like that. Where is it? You know, how am I here? You know? And actually through all this, somehow or other, I am still here. Association of devotees. There's no doubt about it. But also, I'll just quote a verse from Shikshakstakam.
Please.
Because it's like here you've expressed, it's a prayer, isn't it? In this description and purport. I'll just read it. It's in the Shikshakstakam. It says,
I wonder if David, probably you want to hold the mic.
I'm just quoting now a verse that culminates all these things that you said here. It says, "I nanda tanuja kinkaram patitam mam vishambi bhavam buddho kripaya tava padapankati sutahita dure duhuli." What does it say? Stita duhuli. Sadrishim Vijintaya, O son of Maharajanda Krishna, I'm your eternal servant. Yet somehow or other, I have fallen into this ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as an atom at your lotus feet. And so we have here the atoms of the lotus feet are the devotees. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. And the lotus feet are definitely Krishna's devotees. That's the dust of his lotus feet. And because you've gone through all those things that have gone through in my karmic life and whatever, and I feel distaste. But at the same time, I'm glad I've gone through it. That somehow or other I've met devotees, I heard the Hare Krishna mantra, so I'm here now. I'm getting old, struggling, and every day is a trial and tribulation, but still I'm here. And I come now for the morning program, whatever I can get in. And I'm just thankful in that way for the Prabhupada's mercy. Because at the end of the day, everything is there in his books. There's no doubt about. And in his devotees.
Thank you, Prabhu. Yeah, Srila Prabhupada has left no stone unturned in giving us everything we need to make this life perfect and go back home, back to Godhead. Thank you for sharing that verse from the Shikshashtakam.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Got a couple of questions, but maybe I start off with one. The verse is talking about how there is no happiness or never any happiness because of the three kinds of miseries that are there. But then at the same time, we talk about praying to Krishna, and you also mentioned in your class, help me to give up the taste, the material taste, and develop taste for you. So it seems like there is some happiness. So it sounds a bit contradictory. And sometimes also we find in verses that there is happiness, but is insignificant. And sometimes it says, like here, there is no happiness. So I don't know if you want to comment on that.
I think you're more qualified than me to answer, but I'm trying to remember what you taught me during Bhakti Shastri. The material happiness and the happiness available in this material world is like a drop of water in the desert. It doesn't satisfy us. In the desert, we're very, very thirsty. We're hankering after some water to quench that thirst. And if someone gives us a drop of water, then it's almost like we've had no water. What is the value of that drop of water? It doesn't satisfy us. So yes, there is happiness. But Keshava Swami says there are different leagues of happiness. We are spiritual by nature. So the happiness that will satisfy us is in a whole other league that is not available in this material world. And the happiness that's available by engaging in spiritual activities, even though geographically we may be in the material world, we're not actually in the material world. Rupa Goswami says that we're liberated, one who practices devotional service, even though they may externally, it may appear as though we're engaging in the same activities as the non-devotees, but the fact of the matter is that we're actually liberated. We're experiencing life on the absolute platform, on the spiritual platform, and that is not material. So whenever there is any happiness that comes from chanting, from devotee association, from prasad, from devotional service, that is spiritual happiness, and that is an infinite leagues above the material happiness that is available to us here. And that happiness that's available here in the material world is an allurement of Maya to trap us. We remember the example of the camel. The camel is tasting some twigs, and the twigs have thorns in them. So the camel is thinking, oh, I'm getting very nourished by these twigs. It's very, very tasty. But at the same time, the thorns are cutting the camel's tongue. And actually, the camel is also tasting the blood, his own blood. So by engaging in activities that we think will give us material happiness, we are also inviting so much suffering. Because in the material world, there is no pleasure without pain, and there is no pain without pleasure. So the invitation from the Bhagavatam is that we develop a distaste for that pleasure and pain, flip-flop happiness. But we seek out the high happiness that is our birthright, the spiritual happiness that's available at the lotus feet of Krishna.
So how comes when we sometimes engaged in service, in spiritual activities, chanting, reading, if that is on another league and is greater, how comes sometimes we don't experience that?
Rupa Goswami says in the Nectar of Instruction that just like someone who's got jaundice, someone who's in a disease condition of life, when he tastes something sweet in the beginning, it's very, very bitter. But as he continues, tasting and he practices that thing that appears bitter to him becomes sweet. So it's not like straight away we're going to be traveling around in all of these lives, life after life after life, and we've rejected Krishna completely. And then we come to the human form of life and straight away all of that is going to be forgotten about. No, we have to be purified, and we have to really want Krishna. Krishna will throw himself in your face, knocking at your door. But there has to be some effort. There has to be some purification. Straight away it may not come, but you stay in the association of the devotees, take shelter of the process, and the disease condition will subside by the sweetness of that transcendental activity. If straight away all the sweetness came, then perhaps we'd give it up, because that is our condition, to just think about the sweetness and we'll just forget about the essence. By by having this purification of gradually experiencing the fullness of Krishna consciousness, we'll be able to appreciate that fullness and stick with it. Otherwise, if it comes so quickly, we'll take it cheaply. But it's the most valuable thing, not on this planet, but it's a valuable thing in existence. Is that okay, Arthur? If you want to add to that yourself, Prabhu.
Thank you, that's wonderful. I don't know if anyone else has a question, but I had one more from the purport.
Sure.
The lotus feet of the Lord are full of transcendental knowledge. What does that mean?
To take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna means to serve Krishna. And to serve, by serving Krishna, we're showing Krishna that no, we have no envy. Yes, we have a desire to reconnect with you. Service is the symptom of our love. Service is a symptom of our desire to connect with Krishna. And so if we're if we're devoted to serving Krishna with love, then Krishna will give us that knowledge by which we can go to him. On our own strength, by reading the books without performing devotional service, which is the heart of transcendental knowledge, how much can we approach Krishna? Service is the evidence and the proof that Krishna accepts that we're serious about wanting to connect with him. And so he sees that seriousness and throws us the rope of transcendental knowledge and pulls us closer to him. Is that okay? Any other questions or comments? I think one final one from Prabhu. What's your name, Prabhu?
Baladev Das.
Baladev Prabhu, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Just wanted to share, you were talking about happiness. Radhana Swami would explain, and I think it's, for me, in my own stage in life and so on, very helpful. He would say, sometimes, you know, we practice devotional service and we're practicing, but sometimes we look out in the world and we see people apparently enjoying, you know, like last night there was a big game and you see people celebrating and you think, wow, that does, you know, people really kind of enjoying, you know, and am I missing out, you know? And he said it's like seeing a beautiful tropical ocean, you know, very still and it's very hot and you want to jump in the water and, you know, get refreshed and enjoy the water. He says, but just underneath that surface, it's full of stinging jellyfish waiting to sting you. You know, and he said, this is material enjoyment for us. It seems like that, but just under the surface, and when with a bit of experience we know in life, you know, we look at people that we think are enjoying, but when we really see what's happening in life, we see everybody's struggling. Everybody's going through challenges and difficulties and suffering with health or family relationships. You know, this happiness isn't there. But in our mind, you've mentioned the grass is always greener. We're thinking, we're seeing this beautiful ocean. But he said, so just remember that this is like this beautiful, clear water ocean, but underneath it's full of these stinging tentacles. And, you know, and we end up, you know, brings us pain and suffering. So I just wanted to share that. Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhu. Yeah, that's an important reminder. When we see other people enjoying and we feel attracted to that material enjoyment, I remember this jellyfish example.
Hare Krishna, I was just on the same point of enjoyment. I was out on book distribution last week and I met this man who was incredibly rich. And I start talking to him and he's just flown back from Italy. And he's got this global company that he runs. He's a global director of his company. And he was about maybe 40, between 40 and 45, good looking, polite, intelligent, talking to me nicely. I was thinking, how am I going to, I placed a Bhagavad Gita in his hand. Thinking, how am I going to convince him that, you know, to take this Gita? Because everything seems all right for him. So I just flicked to the page where the changing bodies was. I said, see this part here, the shiny part, that's the soul. And the nature of the soul is to be the servant of the Lord. Says, if we make all arrangements to satisfy the body, we will never be completely happy. Just having faith that there's always a jellyfish somewhere, you know.
Mm.
And we'd been talking for some time, and then when I said that to him, he suddenly turned to me, goes, you know what? He just floated his company, so I don't have to work again. Not bad, you know, I wouldn't mind being in this situation. And he suddenly turns to me, and he goes, you know what? What you're saying is right. He said, my daughter is in hospital, and she's got anorexia, and she hasn't eaten for 2 years, and she's being fed intravenously. I've got all this money, and I can't do anything about it. And I said, the only person that can help you now is your friend that sits, I'd shown a bit of the Paramatma on the book, a friend that sits in your heart, he's listening to everything that you're doing. He's the only person that can really help you. My humble request, I got him to chant the Maha Mantra. I said, is that you chant this mantra and see what happens? He said, I'll try. And he that minute, just his mind switched and he took a book like that. So just, it was a wake-up call for me. I was just watching because we're also hankering subtly. But they're doing all right, actually, you know. Yeah, my busting my gut, you know, got nothing. But we have everything, actually. And he had nothing at that point in time. But he got the chance of getting a book at that point. So, just
thank you, Prabhu. Yeah, there's no escape. No matter how we try to dress it up, there's no escape. Since you spoke about book distribution, I'm just going to close by sharing something. We are currently in the summer marathon. And that concludes on Friday the 19th of July, I believe. So it's an invitation to all the devotees to consider taking part in distributing Prabhupada's books on the streets and inviting people to take shelter of this transcendental movement by which people can become free from these three miseries. And it's an opportunity for us, like Prabhu was sharing, to observe people who are overwhelmed by the material energy and remind ourselves why it is that we've taken shelter of this process. If the devotees want to get involved, please feel free to speak with me after the class. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.